This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. All right, it's going to be kind of a crazy show today here. There's certainly a lot of sports topics that we'll try to hit, but we've got high school baseball coming up again here at 12:05. So we continue with Brady and Michael review sports movies throughout the summer because there's not as many things going on throughout the summer months on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are, please, Michael, give him audio, please. Thank you.
This was your segment.
I've got the dude down the hall and Brian Gary. It's our segment in here to review For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. We're going to have some fun. Let's have some fun on a Friday. The Avs lost. The Nuggets lost. There's no hope. The Rockies are probably not going to get to 30. So we'll have some fun here talking about baseball that's kind of good, sort of. We'll be right back. The whole show starts, Michael, when?
In a couple seconds.
Now.
And it's finally here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is
Brady and Micah review sports movies because there's not much sports going on in the summer segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yes, it is time for the movie review, as you heard, the wonderful Brian Gary, phenomenal intro there.
I thought that was pretty good.
I thought that was very good.
Yeah,
I thought that
I'm proud
was
of
very
me.
Excellent.
We got Brian Gary, the dude down the hall, Derbs.
Hello.
And Michael Kirkpatrick. How are you, buddy? Good to see you, man.
I feel abused.
You look well today. You look well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so I want to get into this. We got For Love of the Game. And
yes.
We always said, like, sometimes there's going to be movies you watch, like Derbs, for example, watched The Natural as a kid, loved it. And then as you watch it again, does it kind of change? I forget that For Love of the Game is 27 years old.
Yeah,
Brian.
I would have never guessed it was that long ago.
I still think of it as like, oh yeah, that newer baseball movie with Kevin Costner. And I look back, 1999 was when this movie was done.
That just means we're getting old.
Yeah, it
really does. Like, we need more reminders of that.
And when I see a movie that comes out in like 2018, I'm like, oh, a new movie.
I did that recently, and then I go, wait
it's
a minute,
so
that
bad.
Was 8 years ago.
It's
man.
Awful. And so I look at this. So I'm just, you know, before the movie starts, I'm looking everything up just to make sure we're ready for this movie review because we have to be obviously well versed and ready to go. It's a very professional show.
Yes.
And I'm looking at it going, that's not 1999. That's not true. That's not how this happened. But it is. This movie was always one of my go-tos. And, you know, it's always on, like, TBS, TNT. Anytime For Love of the Game is on, I watch it. And I always enjoy myself. It's a great movie. However, I will say my memory deceived me a little bit because I thought in a lot of his recollections as he's pitching, he's got one final game left before he retires from a sure thing Hall of Fame career. Kevin Costner is, what's his name?
Billy Chappell.
And he might have one more game, and we'll get into that. I just thought there were a lot more recollections of players and past playing stuff instead of mainly, I mean, this is 85%. Love romance movie.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's a baseball movie, but it's really about the romance between Kevin Costner's character and Kelly Preston's character. So we'll get into that a bit. Side note, there's so many different sports things going on, and I just wanted to get your take on this. Derbs, you saw my whole minute today. We've got the tanking rules that are out now for the NBA. That is the big push by Adam Silver, and it has been for a while now. He was, you know, we've got, basically you're punishing the worst team. Teams 4 through 10 equal 3 lottery balls. Bottom 3, 10 equal 2 lottery balls. Play-in team equal 1 to 2 lottery balls. If it's beyond worst team get best draft pick, my brain slows down. And this is just a complicated setup by Adam Silver yet again. I wanted to get your take on that.
This is obviously just an attempt thinking that if you're not rewarding the worst team, there won't be as much tanking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's almost like when you would run a scramble golf tournament and you would pay not only the best, but just a few other places down there, which encourages people not to try to go after that number. So,
yeah, well, and also, I mean, here's the one thing I kind of like about it is teams cannot pick number one in consecutive years. They could have stopped at that. They could have just said, if you picked number one last year, even if you finish worse, then you can have a really good shot of getting the second pick overall, not the number. I kind of like that one. But the rest of this stuff, the play-in teams have almost as good a, have just as good of a chance of the bottom three teams. I guess I kind of get where they're, I get where he's coming from. This was not the breaking news I wanted to see today in terms of a big change coming to the NBA.
That's what I was just going to say. Is this really solving what's wrong with the NBA?
No.
And I don't feel it is in any way.
No. And I know, Derbs, you're a big basketball guy, but you've struggled over the years because of what it's become.
Yeah, this is probably the first year in probably 25 years that I haven't watched a full NBA playoff game. Even our Nuggets, like I even struggled to get through a game because it's a hard watch. And the Nuggets and Timberwolves are typically two of the better teams of the non-flopping generation. It doesn't fix anything on the NBA side of things, but to be perfectly honest, I actually like this.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it's I understand. I probably don't like the play-in teams getting almost just as good of a chance as the bottom guys. But I don't enjoy watching, I'm just going to use the Washington Wizards because they've been bad for a while. They're going to be better and they have good players now. But I don't enjoy them being a 13-win team every year for 5-6 straight years and getting those picks. So if that gives them the motivation to go sign a better free agent, if that gives them the motivation to get to 30 wins, 35 wins, 40 wins, instead of just saying, oh, well, looks like we're bad again. Looks like we're going at 13, 15 wins again. We don't really care who's out there. I think it solves maybe a little bit of the product where you're not bringing up too many G League guys. You're not starting the bottom five players on your bench. You're not resting your star players as much, probably, if you're in that zone. Starting with the GMs and owners are probably going like, hey, we need 4 or 5 in the end of the year here. Figure it out somehow.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't necessarily hate this. I just didn't think this was priority number one on the agenda.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. I don't hate it. The idea of that and all of it, that is not bad. It's just not on the top of the plate. As I would love to hear announcements about the NBA, that's probably about fourth or fifth down the list at the highest.
And the fact that we're having the biggest issue is flopping, which we've talked about.
There's no doubt.
It's happening in the deepest scenarios of your playoffs. Tanking affects 4 to 5 teams, 4 to 5 fan bases, whatever. What we are seeing now with the Oklahoma City Thunder,
you're right.
And again, there are several players that do it. Joker is not innocent in this.
No.
But he doesn't fall down like SGA does. There's no question. But what flopping is doing is affecting the playoffs. if something is hurting your best games on the schedule, which would be your playoffs, that's when it needs to be addressed. However, Adam Silver, when asked about this from Pat McAfee earlier this week, asked if you were concerned about flopping. His answer told me everything I needed to know. He simply said, nah, I don't think it's as big of an issue as everyone thinks it is. There's a difference between flopping and confusing the ref. That's flopping. That's acting. That's foul baiting. And I've said this before, if Silver's not willing to admit that there's a problem, then he will not fix it. Do not expect a fix unless they're going to do it quietly because they don't want to acknowledge it. But I just don't expect big changes when it comes to flopping.
Do you think he's actually watched a game or just showed up at games? Because if you watch the games, you are going to notice this immediately. If you just show up as the figurehead, everything might seem cool. You got packed stands. You've got all that. Are you watching the product on the court?
Well, and the simple fact that he said, you know, it's these players are learning how to game the system. Mm-hmm. He's saying the truth of it while still not admitting that it's a problem. So he's saying that players learn how to foul bait and fake the referee out, so they're just learning how to do it. Yeah, we know that. We all know that.
It's a referee cop-out to me is what it is. Because
yes.
I think everyone always complains so much about the refereeing that this is a cop-out that he doesn't have to discipline, hold them accountable, basically play by the same set of rules every night because it changes from referee crew to referee crew for every game. This is a cop-out because there's going to be some teams that play by that have more of the flopping. There's going to be teams that have less of the flopping. And it's a way to take the entire scope of the refereeing as a cop-out to me, where I think they're doing a great job. I don't need them to do any more.
Do you think there needs to be more consistency on the way a game is called from night to night?
Yeah.
Because the game of basketball can change completely when it comes to who's in charge of the whistles.
So I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but just seeing a lot of the stuff on the internet, you see what Tony Brothers' officiating crew did.
Always brought up.
Always. And then you have Scott Foster's crew is wildly different. And they are always the last, basically, two head chiefs in playoffs and huge game scenarios as the head guys, and they are two wildly differently called games. You have a rule book for a reason, and none of it gets used. Like, I mean, you can go down to the traveling, the double dribbling, the steps, the pivot foots. Literally none of that is called anymore. Or if it is, it's got to be bad for it to be called. So to me, it just sounds like we're happy with the referees. We don't want to add any more to them.
Wouldn't it be interesting to see a referee from the 1970s step on the court and try to call a game today? I just think that would be wild to see how they interpret what they're seeing on the court today.
I bet a game.
Let
would
me get
never
my
end.
Time machine.
Yeah, I bet a game would never end. Like if they had to officiate like Jordan and Kobe rules versus what like SGA and Harden rules now,
mm-hmm.
It would either be the most free-flowing game and all the players would be mad, or there would be 400 free throws because they'd be calling every hand check and every a little bump and things like that.
Well, it's frustrating to me.
I agree.
And I've had my I've got my sights set on Adam Silver for a while, and seeing this kind of report is tough. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not sure where we're going to go from here, but I thought it was frustrating yesterday to see this and then to hear the interview earlier that he's basically saying it's just not an issue that we're willing to mess with at this point.
Now, I know you're against Silver. Has he done anything in his tenure that has bettered the game of basketball?
I thought during the Donald Sterling stuff with the Clippers,
okay.
Donald Sterling ownership,
yeah.
I thought him quickly getting to that was a good thing. I thought, wow, this is a guy that's not messing around. He's not going to bow down to the money. He's simply saying, hey, what this guy did, whether he did it in the privacy of his own home or not, it was out there. And he's got players threatening a boycott. He's got fans threatening a boycott. So for him to cut bait and run from that, I thought was a great thing. the modifications to the All-Star game, again, I don't hate what they tried this year, but I just feel like he's messing with a bunch of things that are not a priority. The NFL, for heaven's sake, they took their Pro Bowl and turned it into a flag football game. That's a joke, but I don't care because the product on the field is amazing. Because the NFL said, this is how we're going to fix it. We're going to make the product the best. For the NBA, it's like, the product is struggling, but let's go over here and fix all the little bells and whistles.
Do all the gimmicks.
Those are secondary. And tanking, all-star games, the cup, all of that, that is very secondary. So has he done some decent things? Sure. But it almost hurts the fact that he's done them and they're okay because the real focus is, I just want the game to be good. That's what I'm watching. I want the game to be great. And it's just gotten, it seems like it's gotten worse every year, especially the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. It's just gotten worse.
Well, I agree with that completely. It's not the same game.
20 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. All right. Enough serious talk. Let's get to our movie review coming up next for Love of the Game, starring Kevin Costner and Kelly Preston. Does it hold up? This was, as we said, 27 years ago. Are you starting it? Are you benching it? Or are you cutting it? So we'll get to that a little bit later on. It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
The baby peregrine falcon flies.
Yeah, it kind of does have a little Discovery Animal Planet feel to it. The soundtrack was not consistent, I would say. Now, I don't want to do the nerdy but the soundtrack.
The original score wasn't really.
Was inconsistent.
Other than that, wasn't
I thought
really
it was
memorable.
Some of Hans Zimmer's worst work.
The original score
not
was.
Hans Zimmer.
The original score was 1-0, Michael. That's what the scoreboard read at the end of the ball game.
Oh, so now you're giving away the end of the movie.
If you haven't seen it.
It's been 27 years.
Yeah, the statute of limitations ended 26
years ago.
Yeah, probably. For Love of the Game, Kevin Costner, you had Kelly Preston, you had John C. Reilly in this
Riley's
movie.
Great.
And that there was a tie. John C. Reilly has had several, hold on, Michael. He's had several careers, I feel like. Because he's done movies like this. He's done Gangs of New York. Then suddenly he goes into just total goofball.
Wreck-It Ralph,
Step Brothers.
Then he goes to the MCU.
Dewey Cox,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, very fun movie, actually.
It is.
But people, I think, forget that he was in that movie. He's the catcher. He was really only the only player. Maybe there was another player, I guess, the outfielder. The ball that hit him in
Whoever
the head.
Talked.
Yeah, that actually had any real line. Like, we were talking about we did Major League last week, and there was like six or seven players that you could kind of talk about. For Love of the Game is Kevin Costner. It is his Billy Chappell character.
Yep.
John C. Reilly is the catcher. The outfielder that let a ball hit him in the head once, trying to catch a ball. But
the
doesn't really have any line. I'm talking about the players. And then you had the player that was traded from the Tigers to the Yankees. So there's not really any key players that were talked about in this movie. Here's my first thought on this one is... I just recall this movie. I knew it was a love story. I've watched it probably 10 times over the past 27 years, or at least parts of it. And I knew it was a love story. I just kind of forgot that it was 85, 90% love story. I thought it was more like 70% love story. Like, there were a lot more, you know, when he had the flashback of his teammate that got traded to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were like five more of those. Where he had a recollection of dealing with a certain guy. He would talk about him on the mound and everything. But I thought there were maybe four or five of those moments throughout the game. But really, there was just the one. And the rest was pretty much the love story.
Yeah, this has been a favorite of mine for a long time. I've always been a huge Kevin Costner fan.
He can do no wrong in my mind.
Absolutely yeah. love his movies, and his sports movies have been phenomenal. Whether it be Tin Cup or any of the baseball films that he's done, Draft Day, all those, I have really enjoyed all of them. This was one of my favorite Costner movies. I loved it because it wasn't just baseball. It was that relationship. It was the story of this guy who supposedly at the end, but has that one shining moment, and watching him live through it, knowing that this is like that last shining moment. He knows what he's going to do mm-hmm. when this is all done. But to watch him go through it and the different takes where it would come back to him on the mound and then he would recollect. You know, and it would take
very unique
back.
Concept. Yeah,
very unique. And one thing I learned reading about the movie too, when they would show, they kept showing what was his name, Billy Chappell. They'd show Chappell's parents out in the crowd while he was pitching. Those are Kevin Costner's real parents.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Costner's parents that were out there, which is really cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Like the video was actually of Kevin Costner, all the videos
of him as a kid.
Those
oh wow, I didn't yeah. know. Well, we know he's a diehard baseball guy.
Oh,
he's like he loves baseball, and he's done a couple of movies on the baseball side of things before.
Yeah, he has. And J.K. Simmons, who wasn't he the manager in this? Mm-hmm. He's a yeah. huge baseball fan and a big Detroit Tiger fan. The thing I found...
I didn't know the tie-in there. Yeah.
The interesting thing about this whole movie that I liked was that when they were pitching this movie and when Kevin Costner talked to George Steinbrenner about doing this movie, then the owner of the Yankees, and Steinbrenner said no. He said, I don't like it because the Yankees lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then Costner explained that, yes, after this, the Yankees do whatever. But it was kind of interesting
yes,
that actually yep. even came up when doing the movie.
But it was also like, I thought painting the Yankees in this great picture. Now, I know Costner, there's several lines in there where he says, this is why I'd never want to be a Yankee, or this is why I never want to be in New York. But it does paint the picture of, if you're going to do something epic... Doing it here is yeah. the most epic of places to do it. So you did pay that compliment to the Yankees at the same time. Now, the movie starts off with he's in his hotel room. He's waiting to meet with Jane, who is Kelly Preston's character. She doesn't show up. So then he ends up kind of having a couple of cocktails before his game. The owner comes in, who is, at the time, Brian Cox as Gary Wheeler, steps in and basically tells him, I'm selling the team. And you've played 18 years. They're gonna trade you if you don't retire. You're gonna be traded to
the Giants,
I think
right?
You're right. Yeah.
So that was gonna be, and he's like, wow. So he's torn up by that. His girl that we don't know the magnitude of the relationship just yet didn't show up for this meeting yet. So he's got that going on in his mind, and then he's got to go pitch a game, which might be his final game. So that's how this movie sets up. Derbs, as far as and you've seen this movie before,
mm-hmm,
but
yeah.
then you watch it again. Mm-hmm. Were there things that you caught, that you liked, that you didn't like, that maybe you didn't really recollect the last time around?
Yeah, as it starts, going back, I didn't realize that, like, the manager and his conversation in the bullpen when he's warming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's like, I didn't know if you'd show. I'm like, what professional baseball player or professional athlete is just going to be like, nah, I'm good today. I'm just going to hang out in the hotel when it's my turn to go.
I yeah. did think...
A.J. Brown.
I did think that was interesting because there are several times throughout this movie where Kevin Costner is on a plane and it seems like he's by himself or he checks into the hotel room, but he's like, I'm going under another name. I'm like, are you not with the team? Like, do you just do your own thing?
You just travel by yourself.
You just travel. But it did feel like that. And then he shows up and he's an hour late. So everybody just left because his guy, John C. Reilly, who is Gus, who's the catcher, was there before when he missed out on his date. So he woke up hungover. Gus is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing Gus just said, okay, screw it. And they got on the bus to go to the game, to go to the stadium. And then, Billy Chappell's just like, I'll show up when I show up. But then I did like the line, because if I'm a coach or a manager, I would hate this when he's like, in 18 years have I ever not showed up? It's like, well, it's not just about showing up for the game. Like, are you an hour late for practice all the time? Are you an hour late for the game? Yeah, you're showing up, but are you here? But then again, he was apparently the best pitcher, you know, arguably the best pitcher
to ever do it,
according to this movie. Yes, Michael.
So I told you guys last night that I had a factoid.
I couldn't sleep.
I'm worried.
Thinking about it. I couldn't sleep thinking about it.
So this is based off of a book, the final book, final novel written by Michael Schara. Now, I have read a Michael Schara book. The Michael Schara book I read is called The Killer Angels. And The Killer Angels is the inspiration for the movie Gettysburg.
But why?
But that's not that.
We have to call back to Gettysburg because I keep doing it.
That's not a sports movie.
What is
a
great reveal that just happened there?
I thought we had some kind of sports reveal, like what you guys gave me. That was real footage from Kevin Costner when he was a kid, or those were his parents there. And hey, you know we're doing sports movie. Here's a war movie reference.
I'm just saying there is a connection between one of my favorite movies and this movie, which I hated.
Hey, nobody cares. Where do I go from here? Kevin Costner, great guy. Really good-looking dude.
Kevin Costner
suddenly went to Gettysburg.
He did it. This isn't the first time. You made a Gettysburg reference last week, too, during Major League. How do you make a Gettysburg? Because the catcher in Major League was in Gettysburg, and you were like, oh, yeah, it really spoke to his character. He's really versatile.
You know who found Nemo? It was Lincoln. And he talked about
that's about where that connection took us to. I was waiting. You know, can I be honest? You want to know what I thought his reveal was going to be? Because you watched the John Elway Netflix documentary. You guys all did, I believe.
Yeah.
I thought your connection was going to be, that reminds me of how John Elway perhaps treated his love life, his relationship, when it compared to his football world. I was going to give you that credit, man.
You went
to nowhere, and that's where we are.
No, because I have a lot more respect for Janet Elway. Like, Janet Elway, probably, I don't know her, but like, she's better than Kelly Preston in this movie. Kelly Preston was awful.
He did not like Kelly Preston.
And the love story was like, it could have been, I don't know if the problem is with the book.
Well, it wasn't that long of a movie. It was about an hour 45. And I mean, according to the movie, they only had like four or five dates before they kind of got serious. And then maybe even three or four. And then he picked up her daughter. Anyway, we'll get to more of this. I know, Brian, I know.
Love story is throwing him off, yet he loves a show where Captain Kirk makes out with a tribble.
Yeah, right.
That did not happen.
Are you sure?
Every show. You sure?
I think that's the extended
pretty
version.
Sure, yeah.
You got to watch that. You got to watch them all the way through. I was hoping you would have watched it.
He ordered the tribble online.
35 minutes after the hour, we continue our review. And believe it or not, Michael's already taken us to places we didn't think we'd go.
I wasn't the one that mentioned Star Trek, by the way.
Well, you mentioned Gettysburg in reference to the movie review of the book
that the movie was inspired by.
I got
also
where you were going, where it's like,
hey,
it's based off a book. It's based off of a writer. Oh, but he also wrote.
How do you do this, Brady?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Okay.
Brian.
Gettysburg is a great movie.
I'm sure it is, buddy. But this is a sports talk show, and we review sports movies, and you keep bringing up Gettysburg.
I did not mean to do it. Last night, I Google searched it because I was so
He texts the group,
bored.
And he's like, I got a really interesting nugget. And we're all like, this hopefully is probably going to connect to the movie.
I was not in this group, which
somehow.
I'm kind of glad I didn't get.
This hurts my soul.
Did you just text it to me and Derbs?
I thought I texted it to all of you.
I thought it was to the really
it was to the group.
I might have blown that one.
Well, Brian, I'm glad you did, because it really didn't do anything to you. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time, like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar, like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door, whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I forgot, Michael. I forgot. This is a song that is in the movie. I forgot. Okay, I was mad at Michael because I said I wanted to hear the soundtrack, and Mr. Music Person
score
over there, score boy,
isn't reeling in the years in every movie that's been made from. Okay,
but it is a good, it is a good song.
Oh, it's a great song.
There,
no, absolutely.
There were good songs in the movie, but it did. They weren't like it. It wasn't like a, I don't know. Just wasn't a consistent feel of the songs. And I'm not normally that nerdy when it comes to it. But now that we're in this world of movie reviews, I do pay attention to that thing. And I think I hate you, Micah, for making me think like that. That is your fault.
You're welcome. I do have a clip.
Okay.
From the hospital.
Would you like to set it up, Michael?
I don't know. You set it up. I didn't watch much of the
scene. Go ahead. Set it up.
He cuts his hand. She drives him to the hospital. And then this happens.
He's hurt his hand. We need a doctor.
Are you his wife?
No.
Are you a relative?
No. Then I'll have to ask you to wait outside.
Hey.
My friend cut his hand. It's bleeding very deeply.
I'm a doctor. I don't care.
Is this not America? Is baseball not America's favorite pastime?
Oh, damn it. You're right. Baseball's America's favorite pastime.
Turn our microphones on. I'm sorry. I know you wanted to do your weird voice that you did there. I thought that was a great scene.
I couldn't hear it.
It was... Thanks a lot, Mike. Mike just was more concerned about his commentary over the top.
Oh, I heard that. I was wondering, wow, what's standing out of place here?
It's
America.
I thought that was actually one of the powerful scenes because
it's not America.
So Kevin Costner is in the off season. Obviously, he's with Kelly Preston's character Jane and her daughter. And you know, there's a side story there. She didn't tell him about her daughter, and then he finds out later because she ran away from home, and she's like, "Hey, I need you." After they kind of broke up, but then they end up kind of like reconciling and going back out again, and he starts hanging out with both her and her daughter, and they're off like somewhere vacationing, somewhere cold, it looks like. And he's woodworking at he's just out in a shop woodworking because I think he's starting to just relax and maybe put baseball to the side during the off season. And he cuts his hand up really bad and it's jacked up. And she sees it and she's like putting snow on it and she gets him the proper care, the transportation to the hospital. And in that moment, he looks at her like, you got to get my agent on the phone. He's the only person that can help me right now. She essentially saved his career, but he tells her that the agent is the only one that can help me right now. And she's destroyed by that. And then later on, he's trying to rehab and recover. And he essentially tells her that she makes him a weaker ball player and he can't focus on baseball. So they break up yet again.
We've seen that in many sports movies. Oh, I can't have a relationship. I'm concentrating on the sport. And then at the end, it's all what I really needed was you, you know, kind of thing.
You knew. I mean, it was very predictable how this was going to go, maybe, since it was 1999. If it were 2019, you might think that there's something that could change. But it was pretty predictable given that time of movie.
That was one of the many flaws that was in there, because when they cut to him doing the woodworking, like, he's doing all the safety things. He's got the goggles. The guide is in there. He has, like, the little, like, wood part where he actually pushes the 2x4 or whatever he's trying to cut with that safety device. And then, like, 12 seconds later, suddenly his hand's cut off when he's doing literally step-by-step, like, what you learn in shop class to do.
Do you think he was trying to make a baseball, like, in the natural? Or a baseball bat?
A baseball bat?
In the natural?
He was just
like, I'm going to make a baseball bat out of it. Maybe that was an ode to the natural. Yeah, there you go. There's some deep insight there, Michael. Yes.
Okay.
What?
I have to say my piece, guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to turn off your microphones last time.
You are not forgiven.
My thing about this movie is I knew ahead of time that there were going to be flashbacks because I've seen part of the ending. I like that. I like the whole flashback thing.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, it's like that's really well done. I liked the interaction with John C. Reilly, who I don't know if you guys noticed. didn't throw a baseball at all.
Oh, yeah. Every scene of him double. In the baseball field was like a close-up on his eyeballs. Because mm-hmm. he's not actually. And when he's running, he's like. And I'm like, there's no way. They said he's the slowest player on the team. I'm like, no, he's Michael running out there. He should not. Sorry, Mike. You should not be playing for the Detroit Tigers, okay?
That bloop and, double that he had.
Even the double, I'm like, come oh, on, man. Goodness. He's struggling to get back there. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, so, like, I liked that whole thing. I liked the his conversation at the beginning with the owner. Like, that was great because the owners said, hey, I sold the team. The new owners don't want you. They want to trade you. Like, I liked that whole thing. I liked the aspect of the owner needing his answer whether he's going to retire or not.
Yeah, the owner sends his nephew down, creepy little nephew that's just watching him undress in the locker room.
Yeah,
that was a little weird waiting for his answer. And then he ultimately gives him the answer right before the ninth inning. I thought that was cool. And I hope that Gary Wheeler, the owner, former owner, kept that ball because that was probably worth a lot.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Now he announced his retirement, right?
26 years later.
It's a huge game. Yeah.
I did really enjoy how it was all set up. I agree with you, Mike. The going from like the present day to as far back to evolve.
It was emotional when he was going up against his old teammate, I thought.
Yep.
Though they didn't have a line together in real time, they just had the flashback of when he's helping him move and he got traded. And Kevin Costner's clearly like, this was your team too, man. When is there too much money? This was your team. And then he looks at his family and says, that's my team. So that's really relatable on the sports side. But then when they're in back to current time, when he's pitching against him, they just exchange glances. You have Kevin Costner's monologue that he's doing out there on the mound.
Which I liked.
And you're only getting his glances back to him like, damn, where was that? Where'd that pitch come from? And then at the end, it was kind of like, proud of you, man. You did it. Mm-hmm. You know? Yes, Michael.
I liked what we were talking about. That's the skeleton of the movie. I liked the whole setup. I would have liked to have seen better organs because the heart in the movie was small and hard and awful. I thought the best part of it could have been him remembering his years in baseball and then maybe a little bit of his romantic relationship.
I don't think so.
But I couldn't buy Kelly Preston.
I did
buy it. She
was
not good.
I actually
did like
buy the love interest because it was like this was his whole life was baseball. And he's admitting, I'm not going to be able to give myself to anything else until I'm done with baseball. And then once he made that decision because he was going to go chase her down. And the happy ending portion of my brain's like, yeah, they made it work because baseball's done and he's going to fully dedicate himself to her as you know, in a relationship. I thought it was solid. The love interest could have maybe been a little bit different, but really it wasn't that bad for me.
They had no chemistry.
I disagree completely. I thought it was an excellent movie because it was a different lens to look at sports.
I agree.
And I really appreciated that. It took me into a different feeling of a baseball game and an athlete and appreciated Kevin Costner being a guy at the end of his career, realizing what was important, what his career was all about, and having that moment, you know, that one more moment. And just as a sports fan watching it, you're like, hell yeah. You know, let's go get this thing. Come on, Chapel. Let's do it. You know, I became a big fan of him watching it. I just thought it was neat. I like that it starts with, you know, him finding her in an accident on the side of the road.
Yeah, that was a great
scene. You know, going to there. I thought it was just set up really nice from start to finish to be a real cool, different take on a sports movie where you still had the sports, you had the sports vibe, you had all the feels of that, but this relationship as well that I thought intertwined really good. This is one of my favorite sports movies.
Derps?
I actually thought it would be pretty accurate to what a professional athlete deals with. Having a love interest in one city that you only visit, you know, maybe a handful of times out of the year or less, then trying to make something long distance work. You know, you got spring training. How do you travel? How do you see each other? What becomes important? Like, I think that's where some of the disconnect where maybe Micah doesn't like is because they don't have the best of chemistry because they're never around each other. Like, they're in different cities every other day.
I'm talking about the actors.
I mean, I thought she was fine. I thought Kelly Preston was
fine. Like I said, there was one scene where I didn't think her acting was particularly great. But other than that, I bought into her character and where she was, like, why she didn't trust love. Because yeah. she had a kid when she was 16. Obviously, that guy turned out to be a deadbeat dad, and they never had a relationship. We got to do final reviews on the other side. I'm guessing where Michael's going. I'll be curious to see. I know where Brian's going. I'll be curious to see where Derb's going. I'm still curious to see where I might go on this. To
so
be
are
honest.
We.
Yeah.
That's why we hang
fascinating.
On, Brady.
Yeah. It's the whole show movie review. We'll be right back.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're finishing up. We got about a minute and a half here. On For Love of the Game movie review. Brady and Michael review sports movies throughout the summer because there's not as many sports going on segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Brian, start it, bench it, or cut it?
Absolute start it. One
That's
of my favorite sports movies, period. Love it.
Brian's starting it. All right, Negative Nancy, where are you going with this?
If it wasn't for like that whole Kelly Preston
just hates
thing,
Kelly Preston. Just
I would probably start it, but this is going to have to be cut.
Michael's cutting. This is the first cut for you, right? You cut The Natural too, didn't you?
I cut The Natural.
You cut
yeah.
The Natural. Derbs.
So this is just because it's a latter part of my life. I'm going to bench it because I don't think I'll watch it, like, go out of my way to watch it again. And I think that's our rules, right?
Yeah, kind
like,
of.
I'm not going to go out of my way to say, I'm going to go watch it's the not, Love of the Game again.
Yeah.
But if it's on, I'll casually maybe watch a piece of it. So I'm not going to say start it because I don't think it was overwhelmingly good to where I got to go out of my way to watch it again. But it's a fantastic movie.
Before I rewatched it yesterday, it was an obvious start it. Like, guarantee, because I've seen it a million times. Oh. I'm definitely not cutting it. It's either a bench it or a start it. I'm still going start it.
Yeah, I'm still going start it.
And I, you know what, Michael? Kelly Preston is the greatest actress that's ever existed.
No doubt.
She can do anything.
God rest her soul.
Stop, Mike. God rest her soul. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.